We hear the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fish a lot because it's in all four of the Gospels. It was a big deal. And it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. If you ask any seminarians, what do they remember about? And they remember the 12 baskets of leftovers that the apostles probably had to eat for 8 days, you know, until they got rid of them or things like that. And if you ask most other people, they'd probably say that, well, this was a big miracle. It's in all of the Gospels. You hear about it. And it's just kind of neat. And to a certain extent, it prefigures the Eucharist. But there's a couple of more things to it that are a little bit specific in each of the Gospel passages. And today, because we're in the year of Matthew, we have his account of it, which starts out with something that I think colors the whole flavor for Matthew and colors it for us in our particular circumstances with the pandemic and the different things that you're hearing from different authorities and the physicians that are talking to about saying this is there, we've got cures, and others who are shutting them down, and all the things that make for a lot of angst within us. Plus all the responses to the pandemic. None of you can see each other smile because of the masks. And that makes a difference. It's hard to connect. You're stuck with only my smile. And so I brushed my teeth real well for you this morning for that very reason. But the big thing is, in Matthew's gospel, it starts out with, when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he went away to a deserted place by himself. He was hurting. He knew his cousin, or second cousin. He was worried about what was going on. You know, even though he's God, he's man. And we have a lot of trouble balancing that. We are confident Jesus did it better than we can understand from the outside. But what we can still tell is the death of John the Baptist really hurt. He was the last, the greatest of the prophets. He was the one who had prepared for our Lord, and he was gone. And gone wrong. You know, murdered. And you know all the stories and things like that. But the big thing is, Jesus was hurting. Kind of like we are. You know, nothing directly had attacked him yet, but he could feel the atmosphere kind of closing in on him. And he wants some time alone, perhaps to be with the Father in the Spirit. But he wants that time alone, and what happens? He gets there, and there's a crowd. Now, you're talking 5,000 men, not counting women and children. You put all that together, it's the size of the population of many of our Kentucky counties. You're talking about a huge group. And instead of getting back on the boat and trying to escape to another quiet place, he heals them, he teaches them, and then, in addition to that, he feeds them. This is a major transition because, in Mark's gospel particularly, every time Jesus does a miracle, he tells them to be quiet about it. Because he didn't want to upset the apple cart, didn't want to be broadcasting that he had so many of these powers. He came to heal softly, slowly, behind the scenes, so that it would well up in the populace that there was something more than just another prophet here. But he didn't want to cause all kinds of external trouble. He wanted the kingdom of God which is among you, kingdom of God which is within you, to be able to germinate and grow in them. And yet he changes with this gospel passage. He changes with the multiplication of the loaves. It is significant. It's remembered by all the early Christians. It's remembered by lots of others who just want to eat for free. And in John's gospel, it's the prelude to the discourse on the bread of life, where Jesus gives his very self to us and promises it at a lot of people refuse to walk with him any longer. But it's a big breakthrough. The lesson for us, I suggest, and you can take any lesson that you want from this, because the Gospels and the sermon are supposed to be an opening for you to be able to dialogue with God. Hear what he's saying to you. Speak to him in your own way. But what I take from this is that Jesus, even though he was hurting, didn't let that stop him from doing good that needed to be done. And even though he was hurting, what was pulled out of him by the needs that were there was something that was transformatory, something bigger than you hear about in anything else up to that point in the Gospels. And it made a radical difference in the way that people understood him and started to follow him. Even though we are hurting, kind of worried and burdened and all the other kinds of things, they were supposed to be only 2 weeks in early March, and then it was, oh, it's 10 weeks that we didn't have Mass, and now we've got all kinds of things, and we see no end to it. We're hurting. And where our society is hurting in addition to us individually. And because of that, it weighs on us. But despite that weighing on us, we are called to do what's right and good. We're called to be kind to one another, even in traffic, even in the supermarket line, in all kinds of ways. We're called to be kind to one another, even though we don't know exactly when the schools may open or how they're going to do this. We're called, despite the burdens, to be able to still reach into that inner depth of image and likeness of God in us and continue to pull it out and make good things happen. And still love and worship our Lord and God in real and true and visible ways, despite the burdens that we carry. Because you never know, just as with Jesus our Lord and Savior, when he did that, something bigger perhaps than intended, that multiplication of loaves and fish, came out. May you be able to reach into the depths of the resources that you may even think you still don't have and be able to pull forth that love of God so strong that it can pull you through whatever big or little burdens you carry and be able to do something extraordinary, even if it's just for one person. It may not be 5,000. Even if it's just for one person, it may transform their lives and give them hope. May God be with you as you do these things. May he assist you in bearing your burdens. But more than just bearing them, may he help you transform his world in the process of your following that Lord and Savior, even in the midst of hurt.